It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM. Morena Alex, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
Hey, what have you been binging this week? What are we going to chat about?
Well, I kind of want to start by just shouting out my sort of purest, deepest TV pleasure, which is Come Back, which is The Great British Bake Off.
It's
yes.
So good.
Oh, I'm so glad. I love this show with my whole soul.
Like last week, we were talking about Succession being kind of the best show on TV. Yeah. I think this show, The Great British Bake Off, is my favourite
yes.
show on TV. It's just, it's like unadulterated bliss, like for an hour, you know. It feels like escapism at its very best.
Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
It because they just all help each other as well. It's one of those like or competition shows. They do though on the Great British Bake Off. They're like, oh no, your cake's gone flat. Don't worry, I will help you.
Yeah,
it's wholesome content.
Yeah, and like unlike a lot of reality TV, it's about a celebration of talent. You know, it's like, and I think that's really my brand of reality TV
yeah.
is like, you know, rewarding the best traits of humanity rather than the worst of us, rather than generating like hyperbolic conflict for
Heart
the sake
out.
Of it, you know?
Yeah.
I was really worried when Noel Fielding took over. Like, I don't know if anybody out there has like not watched in a while, but Noel Fielding is now one of the hosts. And I sort of thought it would be like the worst things from all of the, you know, and it would just, they would bring out the worst of each other, but I couldn't have been
Works
more
perfectly.
Wrong. It's
yeah.
like the person who cast him should be given a knighthood or something. It's just, it's so
I didn't
blissful.
Know I needed to see Noel Fielding talk about cakes, but you know what? It's really greatly improved my life.
He's really flourished in the role. I love it so much. He's perfect. It's perfect. Baking is perfect. even when it's a disaster. I love it so much.
So big shout outs to Great British Bake Off.
Yep.
But what are we actually talking about this morning?
So we're actually talking about Netflix's Dark Crystal.
Cool.
It's technically called Dark Crystal, The Age of Resistance. So it's based on the original film, which came out in 1982, which is a Jim Henson animatronic feature. If you guys are looking at me kind of like puzzled, I feel like maybe you haven't seen the original Dark Crystal.
I've seen the original Dark Crystal.
A little bit too young, but not
yeah.
only a little bit, because I know my cousins were into it. Like, I think I just missed it by a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't actually know entirely how it found its way to me. Like, I was like a bit of a, I was a Henson head, I guess, when
yeah.
I was a kid. But I don't remember my first viewing of this. All I do remember is that it was like a cornerstone
yeah.
of my
just youth. Appeared
like,
in your life.
I was just obsessed with it. And so when this was announced, I was pretty nervous, right? Like,
don't ruin it for me.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I feel like sort of in this age of like remakes and reboots and repurposing and like recycling like intellectual property, everybody kind of like has their sacred texts, right? Everybody
mm-hmm.
has their thing that
yep.
you sort of fire up the internet and, you know, so it, like there's this headline that says this thing is being brought back by Fox, blah, blah, blah.
And you're just like, no.
And cry a little bit inside. you know, for some people it's Star Wars, for some people it's Disney, for some people it's Party of Five, which is apparently getting a reboot.
Okay, that's news to me as
yeah,
well. There
yeah.
we go.
This was a little like half-assed internet research that I did.
But yeah. for you it was Jim Henson.
Yes, for me
Dark
it was
Crystal.
Jim Henson. It was definitely like, yeah, when I heard it was happening, I wasn't excited. I was just kind of like a bit sad, right? Because
yeah.
it just sort of seemed inevitable that it would just be pulped through like whatever kind of like thing it would need to go through to make it like a 2019 palatable property, you know,
yeah.
and like
yeah.
just kind of spat out as like irrecognizable from, you know, the sort of beautiful, magical, weird film that the original
was. Yeah.
And I also just sort of thought that there was like this unwritten rule that you just don't mess with Jim Henson, you know? Like, you guys, like, surely
it's the
there
laws
was,
of the universe. One of
yeah.
them is don't mess with Jim Henson.
Yeah, like, you know, it's on his gravestone. Don't mess with me.
So have you watched it now?
So I'm 3 episodes in.
Okay.
And it's good.
Oh, it's good.
It's
do
good.
You feel, do you feel relieved or still a bit nervous?
I feel a lot of relief.
Yeah.
But I actually did, like, I did a little bit of digging. And I discovered that it was a property, like sort of born of the Henson Company, which is now run by his daughter. And they were sort of knocking around the idea of a sequel for about 10 years.
Wow,
okay.
Yeah, so it's not
so
even...
So they haven't rushed into this.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's not all of a sudden like, you know, somebody like Netflix didn't come along and sort of say like, yo, what about, you know, like getting this Dark Crystal thing off
yeah,
the ground
yeah,
again?
Yeah.
You know, they were sort of like trying to get it going and apparently even announced a feature film a couple of times
wow.
before it kind of fell over. And then Netflix did come along and basically turn on the money hose
mm-hmm.
and say...
The money hose? Where can I get one of those?
It's the best hose. And they sort of said, yo, you want to make this a TV show? And obviously they said, yeah, let's do it. And they developed like a 10-episode prequel to the original events of the feature film.
Okay, so it's not trying to be like the same as the first one. It's a prequel to that original story.
Yeah.
I'm kind of fascinated by the visuals of it, because Dark Crystal was kind of amazing in its puppetry and all of that stuff. This has gone the full animation route, hasn't it?
Yeah, so, well... Okay, let's talk about, we can talk about puppetry for sure, because like this
I love puppets.
Yeah, who doesn't love puppets? I can't believe we're talking about puppets and Sarah Thompson is not coming in to talk about puppets. This is, so the Dark Crystal is being touted as the largest like puppeted production of all time. And it really, 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 really does do its best to prioritize in-camera special effects and puppetry over CGI.
Okay.
That doesn't, like that's not the case all the time. There is definitely CGI in it, but I really feel like the show kind of deserves kudos for that, because, you know, there's so many points I'm sure throughout production people must have just been like, should we just CGI this, because it's just so much easier, you know? And I kind of like, I gotta get a little nerdy for a second, and I kind of have to talk about filming format, because so like all of Henson's original films were obviously shot on 35mm film, right? And there's this kind of like you know, it's a pre-digital technology, and there's kind of this like magical, uncanny valley element that emerges from like, you know, like light exposing a negative, and all of the kind of like motion blur and grain that goes along with that, and that's all stuff that's impossible to replicate in digital filmmaking.
Totally.
People obviously, you know, try a lot, and this show is filmed on like sort of 8K, incredibly high resolution digital cameras, and it's like the puppets kind of suffer for it. Like can see the crispness, you can see the like, you know, you can see everything just too much. There's no there's no like blur there. And it just kind of feels a bit fake, and that, you know, it kind of is just a bit sad. And when the CGI does come along as well, that sort of serves to like highlight just how incredible we are at CGI now, because like some of that stuff is like pretty astonishing. And the puppets just feel kind of like puppets.
Oh no,
I know, but
that's the worst thing, is you don't want the puppet to not feel alive. You know, if you are suddenly like, that's a puppet, then your puppeting is not very good. Puppeteering, puppeting, what's the technical term? Puppetry,
puppetation. But, and because like, you know, the design is so beautiful, like you know, as you were saying, and like, you know, the direction is amazing, the lighting is incredible, and like the like the villains are so villainous, and like the whole thing is so incredible, but you can just see too much of it, you know?
Okay, so it's a little bit too crisp.
It is, but that is genuinely my only complaint, and like otherwise, like, you know, this is incredible television.
So do you reckon if you haven't seen the film, diving into the series is still like good?
That's a good question. I'd be interested to know. Like, I kind of, I'm way too biased, because
is anyone out there not an original Henson head and has started watching Dark Crystal on Netflix? What are your thoughts? Does it stand alone?
Let us know.
Or if you are a Henson head and you've seen both of them, what are your thoughts? 5395, or you can call us 309-3879. So it sort of stands up to it, but it's doing a different thing.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's set kind of previous to the events. Obviously, it's a prequel, and it's sort of, it's kind of Middle-earth-esque, right? It's sort of, it's like way too dense for us to properly get into now, but they've really run with that, like, world-building
thing. That's cool.
So at the start of the film, there's one, what are called the Gelflings. There's sort of like elven humanoid creatures. There's one of those left, and in this show, there are seven tribes of Gelflings still, like, in the sort of, like, you know, flourishing of their society, and they kind of, you know, do the human stuff, like they have jobs and they do farming and being soldiers and stuff like that.
We love it.
And then you have Skeksis, who are sort of, for want of a better term, the bad guys. They kind of, like, came from space to sort of pillage and enslave this planet called Thra. Just like they suck power from the crystal, and that, you know, it's sort of this classic tale of heroism
so
and
this,
sorcery and
so stuff. This show kind of sets up what you will know from the original Dark Crystal.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't made it all the way to the end, so I'm not entirely sure where, like, at what point. Yeah. Although, like, like, you know, we all kind of know, or like anybody that's seen the original knows, that extinction of the Gelfling race is coming. And it's obviously hard not to read into, you know, like all sorts of like modern day parables.
Someone said, wait till you're in your late 40s to watch it if it looks too crisp now. So they're saying, give it some time to sort of mature.
Just some macular degeneration restoring the beauty of film grain. I love it.
Let the beauty of film grain come from your natural eye.
Well, that makes me feel like digital filmmaking is a waste of time. Let's just give up now.
You would give this two thumbs up. You'd still recommend people go and watch it?
Yeah, totally. And I am genuinely interested in that question as well, like about whether somebody that has, because, you know, like I do have a bit of a question about who this is for, because I'm not sure the kids are coming to this now and being like, oh, great, you know, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. And like, you know, it feels like for people like me, but yeah, I don't know. It's slightly odd in that way.
Well, let's remind us of the name of the show again.
It's The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance.
And it's new to Netflix, but Netflix. Obviously not new to you if you are a Henson head. Thank you very much, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
That was Viewmaster on 95 BFM.
And you can text us if you have Henson-related chat.